Okay, tonight is Monday night, February 5th. This is the Gemara Shir up to Maseches Mit Katan Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph.
I want to welcome the Englewood crowd who are here checking us out.
Yes.
Okay, hopefully you'll enjoy it. Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is in the middle of the sugya of comparing three categories of individuals who share certain features in terms of their expression. They're an Ovel, somebody who's placed in the Cherem, who the Gemara calls a Menuda, and a Metzora, a leper. And the Gemara is highlighting the commonalities as well as the differences. So we are up to about 10 lines from the top of that Tesvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, Menuda mahu ba'atifas harosh. Does a menuda, somebody who's placed in the cherem, must that individual engage in atifas harosh? The Gemara had said previously that an Ovel is obligated to engage in Atifas HaRosh, wrap their entire head in a tichel, and the only thing that would be visible is your nose and your eyes. Tosfos raised the question, how come we don't practice this today? Never seen any Ovel engage in Atifas HaRosh. So Tosfos, if you remember, came up with a very strange answer, because people are going to laugh at us. The Ramban already asked, we saw the Ritva, since when is that a reason for us not to practice something because the Gentile community is going to laugh at us? But nonetheless, the practice has become not to engage in Atifas HaRosh, but since the Gemara actually does require it, the Gemara now extends this and asks the question, Menuda mahu ba'atifas HaRosh. Should somebody who is placed in cherem, should that individual engage in this particular practice? Omar Rab Yosef, Toshma, I'll cite a brisa. The brisa says, Vehein misatfin v'yoshvin kiminudin ukeavelim at shiirachamu aleihem min hashamayim. This brisa is, I just read it too quickly last week, that's why I'm doing it again. Its actual source is a Brisa and Maseches Tanis, and the Gemara there is dealing with situations of lack of rain in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah in Tanis, the Mishnayos in Tanos, tell us that we are to fast 13 fasts in order to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. You start off with a series of three fasts, which are somehow like the fast which we fast on Shabbos HaBetamos and Asara Batavis, only during the day, and no inuyim, no chamesh inuyim. It's only achila and shtia. Then there are a series of seven fasts. There's an additional three fasts which are mandatory for everybody. The first three are only Tamidei Chachamim fast. The next three, everybody fast, once again, very similar to what we call a Tainis Yachid. Only Achila and Shtia, and not the night before, only daytime. Then there are a series of seven fasts, which are very much the equivalent of Tisha B'Av. It's Lele Kiyomo, it begins at night, so it's a 24-hour fast, plus all of the Chamisha Inuyim are usher during these seven fasts. They are done alternatively Monday and Thursday. So these seven would be in a span of a little over 3 weeks. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not responded with rain, so the Mishnah says, everybody is misatev, V'yoshvin kimidunin u ke'avelin. Everybody is treats themselves like an ovel and somebody in nidui ad shirachamu aleh min hashemayim, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring rain. So the Braisa uses the expression that the ituf applies to an ovel as well as somebody who is minudeh. So Rabbi Yosef cites this Braisa to prove that you are obligated to engage in atifas harosh if you are in nidui. In nidui. Answer says the Gemara, Amalei Abaye, Dilma minuda lashomayim shani dechamir. So last week I translated minuda lashomayim, meaning somebody who was put into nidui on account of the fact that he, let's say, cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, engaged in saying something inappropriate against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bezdin, Lichvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would put that person into Nidui. That's one interpretation of some Rishayim. But other Rishayim believe that this is connected very well to the previous case. Namely, if you are, in this particular case, you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at us. That's why there's no rain. So if you are going to engage in being rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rejection is the absence of rain, so maybe that is more chamur than being in nidui for another reason. Because you said something inappropriate to a Talmud Chacham. You said something inappropriate to a member of Beis Din. Maybe those are not as severe, not as strict. So therefore Abaye says, that particular brisa, which is indicative of a situation where somebody is in nidui due to the fact that they did something inappropriate vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps that's more chamur, and for this reason you require atifas harosh in that situation. But in ordinary situation of nidui, the common ones, you didn't listen to a psak of Beis Din. Beis Din said, I want you to pay taxes to the to the municipality, and you don't do so, or do something for the shul, or somebody was told by Beis Din to give his wife a get, and he didn't do so, so he's put into chayrim. That's nidui lidei adam. Perhaps those are not as chamur, and they do not require ituf harosh. There is a machloikis harishonim about Abaye's statement against Rav Yosef. Rav Hai Gaon, cited by the Yotzer HaGaonim, says that Abaye does not disagree with Rav Yosef that somebody who is placed into nidui does require atifas harosh. He does. So what's Abaye's objection? Abaye's objection is that particular brisa, which Rav Yosef quoted, may not necessarily be a compelling proof to the halacha. Because maybe that brisa is talking about where somebody is minudeh lashamayim. But lehalacha, Abaye doesn't disagree with Rav Yosef. He's just questioning his mode of proof. I don't think that the proof which you, Rav Yosef, cited is adequate enough. That's what Rav Hai Gaon says, quoted by the Yotzer HaGaon. However, if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel in our Gemara, on the bottom of the page, it's the second to the last line of the Rabbeinu Hananel. It's on the left-hand side of the page, second to the last line from the bottom. And he writes, it's not there. It's a little. It's from the. It's the narrow lines, four lines from the bottom of the narrow lines, where it says V'dochei Abaye V'dilma Minuda L'Shamayim D'Chamir Chayev Ba'Atifas Harosh Avol Minuda L'Bnei Adam Lo Ulekula avdinan. We paskin halacha lemaaser that somebody who is in nidui does not have to engage in atifas harosh. V'lo michayvinan leminuta paatifas harosh. Daha ibayer v'lo ifshita. A question was posed and it was not resolved. How is it not resolved? Abaye said, what? You are chayiv. And, excuse me, Rabbi Yosef said, you are chayiv. And Abaye challenged it. So, did the Gemara resolve who's right? Was Abaye right or Rabbi Yosef right? The Gemara didn't resolve it. Since the Gemara didn't resolve it, you go lekula, since this entire halacha is only a din de rabbanan, there's no d'oraisa that somebody has to engage in atifas harosh, so therefore you operate with the normal principle, speka de rabbanan lekula, and he believes that Abaye is actually challenging Rav Yosef. So whereas Rav Haigon believed that lehalacha there is no challenge, and hence somebody is in nidui must engage in atifas harosh. The only thing that Abaye did was challenge the source of Rabbi Yosef. However, other Rishonim, the Ritva and many others claim that no, that Abaye is challenging his halacha. Since the Gemara does not ultimately pipe up and say whether a halacha is like Rabbi Yosef or Abaye, it remains an Abaye de lo ifshata, a question that has not been resolved. The Gemara asked, Menuda mahu latifas harosh? We have a machloikis, it remains unresolved, and as a result, you go lekula and you paskin that somebody who is nidui need not have any atifas harosh. That's the machloikis between Rav Hai and the Rabbeinu Hanani. Fine. So the Gemara asks, continues, this is a very strange question, and you should be able to question it as well. Mitzora mahu ba'atifas harosh. If somebody is a leper, a mitzora, we've seen a variety of halachot which a mitzora has to follow the laws of avelus, such as tichboset, he's not permitted to what? To engage in laundering his clothing. He's not permitted to take a haircut. So the Gemara now asks the question about atifas harosh. Answers the Gemara, Toshma, I'll quote you a braisa. The pasuk says, Va'al safam ya'ate. Va'al safam ya'ate. And he should cover even his mustache. Now that's a pasuk in Parshas Sazria. It's the pasuk is quoted. Many of you have the pasuk on the side. V'hatzarua ashebo hanega, bigadav yihu furumim, he rips his garment, v'rosho yihya forua, and his hair shall be allowed to grow, v'al safam ya'ate, v'tamei tamei yikra. So, if the pasuk means that you cover your head so that even your mustache is covered, that's how far the shawl has to go over your head. So if it's a pasuk in the Chumash, so what question are you going to ask? What? So what's the Gemara asking? Mitzora mahu shiya'ate. What types of questions should a Gemara ask? The Gemara never asks the question, how do I know I'm supposed to read Kriya Shema? The Gemara expects you to know a pasuk in the Chumash. What does the Mishnah ask in Brachos? Me'emasai kolin. When do you read? That might be subject to debate. But there is never a Mishnah or a Braisa that asks, or a Gemara that asks a question, how do you know that you have to be Shoy Mishamas? Why? Because it says L'shasa Kabbalata. You don't ask such questions. So, several Rishonim say, yeah, we know it's a very good kasha that you're asking. Why does the Braisa have to say it? But, it happens all over Shas. Okay. I don't have a good answer. all Rishonim say is it happens all over Shabbos.
Okay.
So be aware, the next time this happens, you'll make a little note in your Gemara and say, Ayin Mayit Katan Tesvav, and you'll have a second case, and that's how you'll start collecting lots of cases. I don't have anything, you know, in my memory that would necessarily confirm this, but there's nothing much to talk about because it's a pasuk in the Chumash, and there is no debate about it. But the lion's share of tonight's share will be on the next halacha of Ovel Asur Lehaniach Tefillin. That an Ovel is not permitted to wear tefillin. And we will discuss several aspects of this. Number one, what is the proper source? Our Gemara is going to cite one source. The Gemara in Brachos will cite a different source. And the titanic Machlokes HaRishonim, if you... what day of Avelus is no tefillin to be worn? Is it only the first day? We will see, which everybody knows is the practice, and Avel does not wear tefillin the first day. We're going to look at a brisa which says that there's a possibility of not wearing tefillin the second day, possibly even the third day, and we'll see how Rishonim handle that interaction between the brisa and this Gemara. And does it require that the kvura and the misa be biyom echad in order to relieve you of your obligation of tefillin? Does it require both or either or? If the misa takes place one day and the kvura the second day, so the first day you'll be patur not because an ovel, because of aninus. An onin is exempt from all mitzvot. And then you will not wear tefillin the first day of Avelus. Or do we say no? That if the Kvura and the Yom HaMisa are two separate days, then on the first day of Avelus, after the Kvura, you put on tefillin. Even though you, let's say the Kvura was at 2 in the afternoon, so you couldn't have davened Shacharis because you were still an onin. The Kvura took place at 2 o'clock. It was finished at 4 o'clock. Still plenty of time to put on tefillin. You would put on tefillin. So let us see how our Gemara quotes this. If you remember from last week, the Gemara says, "Midekaomale rachmana liyecheskel pe'ercha chavush alecha." HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel when his wife died, please keep your tefillin on. Michlal, the inference is, the kuli alma asa. Everybody else is prohibited to wear tefillin. Now, you might think that this is the primary source. So, if you...
It's got to be... I had one of those packets. Thanks.
Okay. So please, for a second, go to page for a second... Oh yeah, page 9, the last page in the back. Yeah, the Gemara in Brachos is not really talking about Avelus. It's talking about the exemption of a chassan from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema the first night that he gets married. A chassan is patur from Kriya Shema. So the Gemara learns out, it's line 3, based on the phrase, uvelechtecho baderech prat lechassan. Okay, I don't want to go into how you learn out from the word of Alech Chabaderech that a chassan is exempt. It's not my concern tonight. Mikan Amru, from here the halacha has been formulated. Hakones es habesula patur. Somebody who marries a virgin is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Ve'esho almana chayav. But if he marries a widow, he is obligated to recite the Kriya Shema. My mashma. How do we learn this out from a v'lechtecha v'aderech? Amarav papa, ki derech. Ma derech rishus. Just as somebody who's traveling. There is no mitzvah that I can think of that you have to travel any place. So uvalechtecha v'aderech is typically a rishus.
Aliyas haregel.
But aliyas haregel, yes. But you don't have to travel. If you live in the old city, you don't have to go very far. Af kol rishus. So too, all of the obligations of Kriya Shema are when you are going, for what reason? An option. You're traveling on your own. Ask the Gemara, Milo askina de ka'azo l'dvar mitzvah? Can we not suggest that what? That what is the reason why you are traveling? Not because you're going to the Super Bowl yesterday and travel to Minnesota. What did you do? You're going l'dvar mitzvah. And nonetheless, va'afilu haki omar likre. Nonetheless, the Torah is telling you that even if you should be involved in a mitzvah, uvelechtecha baderech, what should be the operating phrase? V'dibarta ba. You say these words even as you are traveling to a mitzvah. So, why would I claim that a chassan does not have to what? Read Kriya Shema? Answers the Gemara, in kain lichtov rachmana b'sheves uvaleches. The Torah could have written, if it wanted to tell us that you're obligated to recite the Shema while you are at rest and while you are at travel, it could have said b'sheves uvaleches. My b'shiftecha uvalechtecha. Answers the Gemara, b'sheves didcha ubeleves didcha ubeleches didcha hu de mechayes. If you are going for yourself to the Super Bowl, you're obligated to read Kriya Shema. But if you are traveling lidvar mitzvah, you're going to do any mitzvah whatsoever to redeem a captive or whatever it else. Ha de mitzvah petiras, you are potter. Therefore, assumes the Gemara at this stage, that's why a chassan is pater from Kriya Shema. Why? Because he's engaged in a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, supposedly, to get married and engaged. It's actually a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rush, if there's a mitzvah to get engaged.
So it's a hechsher mitzvah to get married.
That's what the Rush says. And he holds there's only one mitzvah, to have children. Correct. And that's why he said, even if you don't get married, if you have children, you're mekayim the mitzvah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that it counts as one of the tarayat mitzvos. Ki yikach ish isha, there is a mitzvah to get engaged and get married. And the first Mishnah in the second parak in Kiddushin supports the Rambam. Because the Mishnah says, ha ish mekadesh bo ubishlucha. You can betroth somebody either yourself or by sending an agent with the ring to be mekadesh a woman for you. Ask the Gemara, if you can do it with an agent, certainly you can do it yourself. Why does the Mishnah have to say, bo ubishlucho? Answers the Gemara, because mitzvah bo, yoser mi bishlucho. So everybody asks the Rush, what do you mean mitzvah bo, yoser mi bishlucho? There is no mitzvah at all. That's the raya that the Rambam uses to support his opinion. But now the Gemara asks, if there is a mitzvah to get married, afilu kones es ha'almona nami. There should be a mitzvah to marry a widow. Not only to marry a virgin, if the mitzvah is upon the person, the man. If it's his mitzvah to get married, even if the woman, the mitzvah is in the woman as well. What's wrong with marrying an almona? She's not married right now. Answers the Gemara, hai torid. The high low turret. It's not just that you're doing a mitzvah. It's tirda, the mitzvah, which precludes a chassan from reciting Kriya Shema. It's that his mind is preoccupied. His mind is preoccupied to see if she will indeed be a virgin. So he's a little worried. But an almana, he knows that she's not a virgin. Asks the Gemara, imishum tirda. If you're worried about tirda, that your mind is preoccupied, Afilu tova svinasoi bayom nami. If you're on a boat and the boat is drowning, sinking, maybe you should be exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. I would imagine you have other things to worry about if the boat is drowning. But if the boat's sinking.
You mean he's on the boat?
What?
He's on the boat.
Of course he's on the boat. Tava svina so vayam. V'chite mahachanami. If you would like to suggest that, yes, somebody who's on a boat and it's beginning to sink, and just now Zman Kriya Shema comes, he's obligated to read the Kriya Shema. He's exempt from the Kriya Shema. Aloma Omar Rav Abba Bar Zavda Omar Rav. Ovel Chaya Bechol Mitzvos Amuras Batorah. A person who is in mourning is obligated to observe every mitzvah. Chutz Minas Tefillin, with the exception of Tefillin. Shaharei Ne'emar Bohen Pe'er. Shine'emar Pe'ercha Chavush Olecha. Your splendor is on you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch told Yechezkel. And here, the Gemara is exempting you from the mitzvah of tefillin. So we don't need the rest of the Gemara to say, well, there it's tirda to the Rishus, here it's tirda to the mitzvah. Not interested in that right now. But I apologize that I didn't photostat Rashi's comment on this phrase. Why is an Ovel exempt based on this? Not because Yechezkel was told to keep them on. That's not why the Gemara is quoting the pasuk of Yechezkel. Why did the Gemara quote Yechezkel here?
Because Pe'er is...
Because Tefillin is called a Pe'er. That's where we find that Tefillin are called splendor. Pe'er. But what's the reason why an Ovel doesn't wear Tefillin? Because, says Rashi, it's inappropriate, it's difficult for somebody who's me'ulal bebechi, somebody who's in the midst of crying and upset, that he should be wearing something that radiates his splendor. So the reason why an Ovel is exempt from tefillin is not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel to wear his tefillin. The inference is that we don't wear our tefillin. That's what our Gemara says. But the Gemara here does not say that. The Gemara says the reason why you don't wear tefillin is because tefillin is called pe'er. And it is inappropriate for somebody who is languishing in sorrow and mourning for him to wear something that demonstrates his beauty, his royalty, his splendor. That's why. And that's how Rashi learns it. And I tell you to keep this in mind because it will answer some of the questions which will arise. Namely, we'll start with number one. Assuming that the pasuk is, and I mentioned this last week, but I want to elaborate on it. Assuming that the source is our Gemara, that because Yechezkel was told to wear tefillin, therefore we don't wear tefillin. No place in the text does it indicate that it's limited only to the first day of Avelos. If the limud is Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, keep your tefillin on as long as you are an Ovel. So he, in theory, we should not wear tefillin if this is the correct source all 7 days. And the Ritva, I told you this last, the Ritva says, yeah, in theory that should be correct. But I can't imagine that the halacha would exempt somebody 7 days from tefillin. I can't imagine. Why not? It's a little difficult. But according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara and Brachos, we understand it. Why? Because Rashi believes that which day is the day in which the sense of mourning, the grief, is so powerful that it's in direct contradiction to Pe'er, only the first day. But after the news, the awareness, the shock wears off a little, therefore you are no longer, in Rashi's words, mi'ulal b'bechi, you're not crying so much any longer, the shock has worn off, Hence, we limit tefillin only to an exemption of the first day. That's number one. But according to this Gemara, our Gemara in Ma'at Katan, it's a little difficult to understand why it would be limited only to the first day, because there's no indication in the text whatsoever to limit it only to the first day. And in fact, there is a halacha that we do learn for all 7 days. What is an avel not permitted to do all 7 days? And if you were to say you can't be without tefillin for 7 days, you would say that this item that I am referring to, you certainly can't be without for 7 days. What am I referring to, Rabotai?
Talmud
Torah. Exactly. How can somebody be exempt from Talmud Torah for 7 days if you want to start applying simple logic? Simple logic. Impossible. Can't use that type of logic. And that's why it is very difficult. But if you say that Rashi is correct, under those circumstances, we can understand it. Point number two. In the Gemara, which we just read...
We just understand this, that it really means that maybe Avel is more than... There's stages of Avel, that the 7 days of Shiva, whatever you want to call it. Maybe the first day of Avel is different than the remainder days of Avel. So if there's a special rule...
Correct, that's what Rashi says.
Right, so that's so we could just say...
But how do we know that, if you learn that from the Pasuk, how do you know that it's only limited to the first day? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply told Yechezkel, when your wife dies, keep your tefillin on. Okay? So other Rishonim say it's because which day is the Oraisa and which day is the Rabbana. So the Rambam Shita is that only the first day is the Oraisa, so that can cancel out tefillin. The rest of the days are only with the Rabbanan, therefore the Din Oraisa can't override. Okay, perhaps. If you looked at the Gemara in Brachos, which we just read, tell me how the Gemara exempts an ovel. What expression does the Gemara use about an ovel wearing tefillin? What does it say about everybody else? What does it say about an ovel? It says that an ovel is what? Chayav in all mitzvot, with the exception of tefillin. What expression is used in our Gemara? In our Gemara. Does it say that an ovel is potter to wear tefillin? What does it say?
Asur
to wear tefillin. Where did the isur develop? Where did the isur for an ovel to wear tefillin develop? So some suggest that whenever the halacha exempts you from wearing tefillin, you are not allowed to wear tefillin based on shimur of kedushas tefillin. Tefillin are not just another mitzvah aseh. Tefillin, there is a special halacha. There's no mitzvah, for example, that you have to guard your lulav and esrei. No mitzvah. There's no mitzvah that you have to guard your matzah. You don't have to guard your matzah. Yeah, that means that you should come coming.
Right.
And the tzdukim interpreted it literally. They put it their matzah in a safe and had an armed guard posted, and they said, "Watch the matzahs. Make sure nothing happens to them." But by tefillin there is a halacha in shimur of kedushas tefillin, and I'll bring you two proofs for it. Number one, the Gemara in Menachos suggests, according to one opinion, that when you take off your tefillin right before Shkia Sachama, you make a bracha. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lishmar chukav. Lishmar chukav.
You say that at the end of Vavol Tzion.
What?
You say that at the end of
Correct.
Vavol Tzion, because that's when you can take your tefillin off.
That's correct. Right. Lishmar chukav v'lasos ritzono. That's where that phrase comes from. Correct. And in fact, and that bracha is applicable for one of two reasons. One, according to one opinion, laila lavzman tefillin, that you're only permitted to wear tefillin during the day, and it's based on the one time that tefillin are called chok, v'shamarta, Es hachuka hazos lemoaga miyamin yamima. If that pasuk means tefillin, it's a machlokes parshanim whether it refers to tefillin or korban pesach, because it's in the parsha of korban pesach, but it makes reference to tefillin at the end. So if it refers, or if that pasuk has nothing to do with tefillin and it's talking about korban pesach, so then mida oraisa tefillin are worn at night as well. The only reason why we don't wear tefillin at night is because we're afraid somebody will pass gas, shema yafiach b'hem, and as a result of kedushas tefillin, we don't want that to be a degradation of tefillin, and as a result we take them off before we go to sleep, before shkiyas achamah. So that proves that there is a halach of shimur, and that halach of shimur can express itself here as well, that if you're not permitted, if you're not obligated to wear tefillin, tefillin are not a toy. If you're not obligated to wear, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Because wearing tefillin always runs the risk that you will violate to some extent its kedusha. A second halacha which expresses this is the mitzvah of chinuch. The Mishnah in Sukkah, on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, tells us, when is a child obligated to engage in chinuch for a mitzvah? It's not when he knows how to do the bare trimmings of a mitzvah. It's when he can do the mitzvah in its fullest extent, to its fullest extent. For example, the Mishnah does not say katan hayildeya litol lulav is aviv kainolo lulav. No. Any kid can pick up a lulav and ask him when he's 5 years old. What does it say? Hayodeya lina'aneya. Good. Katan hayodeya fatalis, liodeya lihisatev. Not just to put it on. He knows how to make the ituv. What is the expression by tefillin? Not katan hayodeya lehoniach tefillin. Katan hayodeya lishmor tefillah. That's why tefillin is the only mitzvah for which we train a child and he doesn't start at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, the minhag is a month before, some say two, whatever it is. But it's sometime within close approximation to his what? To his bar mitzvah. Because there is another halacha of kedushas tefillin, of shimur. And that halacha of shimur, I always try to, you know, tell people that that's your most precious commodity. When you go on a plane, you don't put your tefillin in your luggage. Who knows where the luggage is going to wind up? Tefillin always goes in your handbag, always. Because you have to have it with you all the time. And if they want to check in because there are too many handbags, you tell them, you take out your tefillin first. And then you check the handbag. Because you have to know where your tefillin are all the time. So therefore, our Gemara presumes that not only is an Avel exempt from the mitzvah of tefillin, he's also, tefillin are also. Because as you well know, if something is potter, you sometimes can take advantage of doing it. If you'd like to do it, you can. And here, by tefillin, the Gemara says, it's asur, and it emerges from kedushas tefillin, just as the bracha of lishmar chukav. And the Rav once said that he believes that is why we have two brachot on tefillin. He said, "Me'ikar adin." The Rambam is 100% right that when you put on tefillin shel yad and you make lahaniach tefillin, that bracha of lahaniach covers the shel rosh as well. Why do you have to say al mitzvah tefillin? Why? No other mitzvah has a second bracha. You say al netilas lulav, then you don't say al mitzvah lulav. You don't say that. You know, any mitzvah. You don't make two birchot ha-mitzvah. But here, because of the fact that we don't wear tefillin all day, so they included another bracha to highlight the kedushas tefillin, and that's what is perhaps what they had in mind for that second bracha of al mitzvah tefillin. Good. Second issue: when will tefillin be exempt for an avel? Is it always just the first day of the Kfura, or must you have Yom HaMisa as well? This is a titanic machlokes. So first, open up to Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph for a minute. Second wide line, after the lines get wide lines, second wide line, Tana Rabbanan. Ovel, Gimel Yomim Harishonim, Asur Lahoniach Tefillin. The first 3 days, an Ovel is not permitted to wear Tefillin. Mishlishi Va'elech, he is permitted to wear Tefillin. Ushlishi bichlal, and the third day is included. Mutar lahaniach tefillin. Okay, so the Brisa says two things, one seemingly contradictory. The first phrase is that an avel is not allowed to wear tefillin 3 days, and then he says from the third day on, it included the third day, an avel is permitted to wear tefillin. So we'll see how it happens in a minute. Ve'im ba'u panim chadashos eino choletz divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The first time I saw this brisa, I never heard of panim chadashos in the halach of avelus. And we only know panim chadashos for sheva brachas, but never for this. But here the Gemara makes a very similar claim. That if somebody put on tefillin on the third day, and new people who have not yet come to be Menachem Avel came, says Rabbi Lezer, ain't no choletz. Once you put your tefillin on, you don't have to take your tefillin off on behalf of these honored guests who came to be Menachem Avel, who had not come days number 2 and number 1.
Why would I think you
were here? Okay, hold on 1 second. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Avel bet yamim harishayinim, asur lahaniach tefillin. And Avel, only the first 2 days, is not permitted to put on tefillin. Misheni, v'sheni bichlal, from the second day and the second day onward, mutar lahaniach tefillin. Ve'imba'u panim chadashos choletz. If new people come, you take them off. And Rashi tells us, even if this happens 100 times on that second or third day, on that second day according to Rabbi Yeshua. So he put on tefillin, somebody new came, he took him off. After the guy left, he put his tefillin back on. Then, 2 minutes later, somebody else walks in who had not been there the first day. Takes off his tefillin again. Afilu me'a pa'amin. So we'll see in a couple of seconds what might be the logic for that. But the Gemara here says that tefillin is asur not just day number 1, but several days. And it's a little difficult to understand. It's a little difficult to understand why, where they get this business of day number 2 or perhaps day number 3. So, because I would have said that I can understand day number 1, or what else is the other alternative? It's all 7. So if you'll deal with day number 1, I can understand the way Rashi says it. V'achrisa ki yom mar, the first day is a very bitter day. You know, you experience greater of it. Okay. But 2 and 3 is a little difficult to understand. Pretty difficult to understand. So let's take a look, take the sheet and take the riff first. I think there are several problems on this Gemara. Several problems. Tana Rabbanan, I bracketed the riff for you. Avel shloisha yamim harishonim asur lahaniach tefillin. Umaskana, And the conclusion is, Eino asur elo yom rishon bilvad. It's only the first day. Only the first day. Why? The ikar mirara chad yomo. The primary bitterness and upset, person upset, under those circumstances, it's limited to the first day. Techsiv achrisa ki yom mar. Aval biyom sheni mutter. V'kevon sheheniach biyom sheni, and once he puts on his tefillin on the second day, eino choleitz v'afilu ba'u panim chadashos. Even if new people who had not been there the first day come, he keeps his tefillin on. Kacha omer harif.
He says mutter, not chayev. Right?
What?
He says mutter, not chayev.
That is correct, because he's playing on the Gemara's expression, asur and mutter. Once it's mutter, what are you going to have to say?
Well, you can say it's mutter, you can wear it.
I know, but okay, you could have said that, but I haven't seen anybody who says that, you do that. So, that's the Rif says. So, Rabotai, you are the Ramban, or the Balamor, who loves to attack the Rif, and tell me, what question do you think you're going to ask on the Rif? Having just read the Gemara and just read the Rif. What?
It says Eino Chulitz.
That's okay, but that could be Rabbi Shua. That is Rabbi Shua's opinion.
But that's only day three.
What?
It's only day three. Rabbi Shua's day three Eino Chulitz, right?
Yeah. Rabbi Shua?
He says
the Shani.
But he says
he said the first. Said either third up to the third day or the second day.
Rabbi Shua said the.
Rabbi Lezer says Eino Chulitz.
Right,
but it's only right. And 2 days. That's correct.
So this is 2 days Eino Chulitz.
Okay. So, the question which you have to ask is very simple. How did the Rif just ignore the whole Brisa? The Brisa says that an Avil doesn't wear either 2 days or 3 days. So the Rif can paskin either like whom? Like Rabbi Eliezer, in which case it's what? 3 days. And then he can also paskin Eino Choleitz. Or if he's going to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, that it's limited to 2 days, and then he will what? He'll say what? Choleitz. But here he passes like nobody. Splits the psa. And he ignores both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua in terms of the number of days. And the truth is, our practice is that way. We follow the Rif. I've never seen an Avel on day number 2 of the Avelus not wear tefillin. I've never seen such a thing. Never. So there are a variety of answers. Some better than others. So take a look, for example, at...
Where does he get the phrase, Maskana Eino Asur? Or, so where does the Rif get that from?
Maskana what?
Eino Asur El Yom Rishon Bavad. Where does the Rif get that from?
He doesn't say where he got it from.
But also...
The Pashtus is every single other Gemara that talks about what? Avel being Asur and Tefillin. Only the first day.
According to the way we have it also... Rabbi Yeshua, for example, says v'sheni b'chlal mutter. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you can put on the second day, right?
So I'll explain that in 2 seconds. Because Rabbi Yeshua said that it's an avel is also 2 days. Umiyom hashmini uv'sheni b'chlal it's mutter. So isn't that contradictory?
Right.
So here are the answers to that question. Yeah. Take for example our practice of last day of Shiva. Do we observe a full last day of Shiva? No. What halacha do we apply? So some suggest on behalf of the Rif that the Rif knew about Rabbi, he paskins like Rabbi Yoshua. Paskins like Rabbi Yoshua. And therefore it's only 2 days. So why does he say from the second day and on he should wear tefillin? Because as soon as daylight breaks, 1 minute into daylight, he's not wearing his tefillin yet. He's going to wait. He's not going to put it on exactly at Alois HaShachar. He'll wait a minute or so. And if he waits a minute or so, he already fulfills the mitzvah Hayom Kekula. Or, alternatively, when do we say mitzvah Hayom Kekula on the seventh day? Do we say as soon as there is sunrise, does an Avel allow to get up? Absolutely not. What is the halacha about mitzvah Hayom Kekula on the last day of Shiva? Ad sheyiru ha-menachamim. Until anyone who came to daven, anyone who wants to be menachem. Once the last menachem leaves, that's when the Avel can get up. Same thing, some say, in defense of the Rif. What does he mean? Of course you have to observe Isur Tfilin for part of the second day. But since the majority of the second day, an Avel can wear tefillin, so the Rif formulated in such a fashion that the Isur is 2 days, but lema'aseh, in practice, he's only not going to be wearing tefillin only the first day. Because the second day, either as soon as Netzachama arrives, he will be put on tefillin, a minute after Netzachama, a second after Netzachama, or after Achiyetsu HaMenachamim. If those who come to daven the second day, after they leave, he's now permitted to put on tefillin. That's how some interpret that, in order that the Rif should not contradict the Brisa itself. So take a look at page number 7. We'll take a look at the Rif, at the Ritva. So I'm going to read the Ritva somewhat out of order. I'm starting in line 5, next to where there's a little comma next to the word Uma Shekosav Rifzal. Umaskana Eino Asur Elo Yom Rishon Dovad Lo Yodanu Minayin Bas Lo. I have no idea where in the world he got this from. Demehacha Leko Lemashma Minahachi Kidifarishna. From this Gemara, you certainly cannot conclude that what? That you are limited only to the first day. The Shema Das Rabbeinu, listen to what he's going to suggest. Shahalaila Shel Yom Sheni Shahu Eino Maniach Tfilin Olelo Lemitzas Hayoim. That the fact that he doesn't put on tfilin on the night after the first day, and the night is already considered what? The second day. Afal pi shahalaila einos man tefillin. Even though that the reason why he's not wearing tefillin at night has nothing to do with his avelos. It only is because the halach is we don't wear tefillin at night. Ulefikach amar Rabbeinu Zal she'eino asur elo yom rishon lefi she'ein manichin tefillin balayla. The halayla olelo lemitzas sheni, and the layla counts as the mitzas of the second day. That's what the Ritva suggested, and it's not his own. It's also v'hu mutar behem yom sheni b'shachris. The chain kosav befevush devarav Rabbeinu Hagadol Zal. That's the Ramban b'sefer Torah Sadam. In the Ramban's book of Avelos, called Torah Sa'adam, the Ramban says this in defense of the Rif. So it's the Ritva and the Rif suggesting, and even though the Ritva says, I don't quite understand it, and he's not terribly happy with this excuse. And as a second, another thing which the Ritva could have had, I'm not sure what the origin of this is, but when we say, if we were to apply what the Ramban said here, we'd be able to do the same thing about Mitzvah Hayom Kekula on the seventh day. When would you be able to get up? The night of the seventh day, right at the Maariv, exactly. And I've never seen anybody apply Mitzvah Hayom Kekula to the night. It has to be during the day. Same thing with Shloshim. We don't terminate Shloshim on the eve of... we always say it's the daytime. I don't know another situation where we apply Mitzvah Hayom Kekula at night. So why would it suddenly be applied here? Is actually very difficult. Very, very difficult. But that's what the Ritva says. Then take a look also at one second.
Is the Iker Mara Chayoma? Who comes up with that first?
That's Rashi. Rashi.
Not in the Gemara.
That's not in the, Gemara. It's Rashi's interpretation. Yeah. Okay. Now I'd like to examine question number two. As I said, now go back to the Ritva at the beginning. Vahani mili b'yom rishon. Piresh. Vahani mili d'mifter b'yom rishon shehu yomisa ukvura. Avo b'shar yomim lo miftar kule yom. On the other days of the Avelus, he is not exempt from tefillin all day. The hamitzas sheni chayiv, on part of the second day, he's obligated to wear tefillin. V'leka lefrushe v'hani mili d'asa b'yom rishon mashma d'sulo mitzar. If you wanted to suggest that what it means b'yom rishon, meaning that it's only the first day, you can't say that. The Hanami b'mitzas yom sheni asur kida amaran in our Gemara avel shnei yamim harishainim asur lahaniach tefillin mi sheni v'sheni bechlal mutar lahaniach tefillin nimtza she b'mitzas sheni mechayvo part of the day he's obligated u'mitzaso asur bohem. And part of those day of the second day, he is usher to wear tefillin. V'kevan de mechayiv b'mitzas yomei, since he's obligated to read it, to put on tefillin part of the day, matzi lemeimar. Therefore, in colloquial sense, you can say the lo miftar elo b'yom rishon, that you are only exempt totally on the first day. Avolo matzina lemeimar le'inyan isur. The mitzar biyom rishon bilchud kevon sheyesh bo gam kein isur b'mitzas yom sheni. You can't say that only the first day is asur because part of the second day is also asur. But along the way, what did the Ritva say defines the first day? Yom hamisa and yom hakfura. That's the Ritva's opinion. However, not everybody agrees with the Ritva. Take a look at page number 5, which is a tshuva of the Rashba. And he writes as follows. In dealing with the issue, Garsinan v'mayakatan, the yom misa v'yom kvura de'oraisa, says the Rashba, that's what the questioner has said, lo ne'emar kein b'shum makom b'gemara. No place ever in the Talmud does it say that if the yom misa and the yom kvura is the same day, that the obligations of Avelus are de'oraisa. It doesn't say it any place. Elisha ha-ga'inim zal amrua. V'kama migdoylei chachmi Yisrael nechleku aleihem. V'amru, de'ein shum avelus de'oraisa, ve'aninus bilvad hu de'oraisa. Only aninus is. Midachsev, and we've seen this pasuk previously, ve'achalti chatos hayoyim. When Nadav and Avihu died, so Aaron said, if I were to eat the korban chatos during aninus, hayitav be'enei Hashem, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu be happy with me? Of course not. Because we know that an onein does not eat dvarim with kedusha. As it says in Vidui Maser, lo achalti mimenu be'oni. I didn't even eat maser sheni, which has a much lower level of kedusha. I didn't eat it by aninus. V'yesh lohem bazer rayos rabos amashi yismoichu. V'ein zem mikoman l'fi shiyarach ein. Not going to elaborate. U'mikol makom, mashi sha'al da'afu das agoinim zal, dafka yom misa u'kvura kehadodi, only if they are together, hazeh below zeh, low. But if you have midday of the misa and the day of Kvura as separate days, then the change, there is a change in status, So he's going to go bring something that is not relevant to our discussion. Skip now to three lines from the bottom. Elo she'afilu divrei ha'gaonim zal yomisa v'yom kvura davka amru. V'chein timtzol Rav Alfus beperik elu megalcha she'ein yom kvura l'chud doche yom tov sheni ad she'yehe yomisa v'yom kvura. What is he referring to here? Our practice is half and half, but according to some Rishonim, it's to be taken seriously. Somebody dies on Yom Tov Sheni. Simchas Torah. He dies on Simchas Torah. So on Yom Tov Sheni, we know you're allowed to bury even Al Yedei Yisrael. A Jew is allowed to bury on the second day of Yom Tov. So now what happens to Avelus on the second day of Yom Tov? So some Rishonim believe that you observe Avelus on the second day of Yom Tov. We never observe Avelus on the second day of Yom Tov, but it counts as the first day of Shiva. So if, for example, somebody died on Chol HaMoed, they'll be starting to sit Shiva Matzoah Yom Tov, but that will already be day number two. The first day of the last day of Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni, counts as the first day of Shiva. The Shitas HaRashba is exactly like the Ritva, who says that when would I say that that you are either no hate Avelus on the second day of Yom Tov, or in our practice, count the second day of Yom Tov as what? As the first day of Avelus? Only if the Yom Misa and the Yom Kvura was on that very same day. Same day. But otherwise, you can't be Noheg Avelus on the second day. And according to our count, it should not count as the first day of Shiva either. That's the Rashba. Only, and the same thing applies to Tefillin. According to the Ritva, and in all likelihood, according to the Rashba as well. When will we say that an Avel is exempt or Asur to wear Tefillin? Only if the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKfura were on the same day. But in our cases, the majority of times, the Kfura and the Misa is not on the same day. Then, after the Kfura, when the Avel goes home, the first thing you should do is put on tefillin. According to the Shita. The person died today, the Levi is going to be tomorrow. When he gets home from the cemetery, first thing he does is he puts on tefillin. Because the exemption only applies if Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura took place on the same day. However, not everybody agrees with Tosfos. Not everybody agrees. Let me show you who doesn't. Page 4. This is the Taz in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin, where the Mechaber writes Ovel B'Yom Rishon. Says the Taz, Perush B'Yom HaKvura. That's talking about just Yom HaKvura. The Biyom HaMisa Potter Mikol Mitzvot Kolz Man Shelo Nikbar. As long as the Kvura hasn't taken place, he's exempt from mitzvot in any event. The Oz Mikrei Onin V'Hatam B'Yom HaRishon D'Chsiv V'Achrisa Ki Yom Mar Shma Mina D'Ikar Miririse B'Yom HaAlef Utfilin ikri pe'er bepasuk. So the Taz says, even if it's just the Yom HaKfura, you will be exempt. And we follow the Taz against those other Rishonim. Our minhag is that the first day of Kvura, first day of Avelus, there is no tefillin. Yeah. Now, there are 50 unusual, not 50, I'm a little exaggerating, lots of cases of where the halacha doesn't exactly say something, and later achroinim raised the question. For example, let's assume somebody dies on Shabbos. Okay? We know the kvura is going to be on Sunday. So, would you put on tefillin on that very first day or not? On Shabbos or not? So, if you take a look, for example, at... Take a look at... No, on Sunday. On Sunday. Would you wear tefillin under those circumstances or not? So go to page number 2, which is a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach.
Well, isn't that the Taz's example?
No, didn't buy on Shabbos necessarily. The Taz wrote,
you die one, the next day is the kvura.
Yeah, because you died on a Monday.
Okay.
Right? But here, there is no kvura, no possibility of doing a kvura. Would things change under those circumstances? And there's no... So, we'll see. Or if the person died, was buried on Purim. Are we knowing Avelus on Purim? No. Should you wear tefillin that first day or not? So, here... Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in paragraph number, the beginning of the fourth paragraph, Al Kolpanim Nimtzeinu Vaday Limedim Mizeh. The aim liftor mitfillin ki im bechad mehani tloso gavne. We only exempt tefillin on the three circumstances. One, yom hamisa af im ein meso mutu lefanav. Even if what? The person died in Eretz Yisrael. Velo nischaye, and as a result, is he going to be involved in the what? In the preparations for the kvura? He's not. The burial is going to be at Shul. He's here in Teaneck, New Jersey. Nonetheless, he on the day of Misa, when he finds out, they tell him, then he is exempt from tefillin. V'lo nischayev gamba avelus. V'mnei shebiyom zehu ikur hamarirus. That's the day in which you're angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two, Yom Kvura, the day of burial, just the day of burial, exempts you from tefillin. O afilu shmua krova. Shmua krova is that you did not find out about the relative who passed away on the day he died, but it happened within 30 days of his death. So on day number 29 after he died, somebody calls up and says, you know what? Someone died. On that day, he says, "Mipnei shehu yom rishon la'avelus." You have to observe one day of avelus. V'yesh koyach biyat chachamim la'akor davar min ha'Torah. And even though there's no avelus midoraisa 29 days after a person dies, but the chachamim have a right to say you observe avelus and hence don't put on tefillin. Three. Meso mutul lefanav shepater gam mishar mitzvot mishum esek mitzvah o mipnei kvod meso. So he, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, believes that the yom hakvura alone, and he cites the whole tshuva, very long tshuva, cites lots of people. He believes that the yom kvura itself exempts somebody from tefillin. And as I said, this is undoubtedly our practice. But he questions at the beginning, if you look at the question, is when you have hanachas tefillin, la'achar shenimtsar likfosafim. Nimtsar likfosafim means katef is the shoulders. The person dies here, but you're not accompanying the deceased on his burial. So what do we say if you have somebody who dies here and they're going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael and some family members do not accompany the deceased? When do they start sitting shiva? That very day. Right away. They start sitting shiva. So would you observe, would you put on tefillin on that first day or not? So if it's the Yom HaMisa, that covers you. Yom HaMisa. But what happens if it's not the Yom HaMisa? And it will be what? The first day of Avelos. But it's not going to be what?
Yom HaKfur.
The day of the Kfur. You're not going to be at the Kfur. Kfur can be tomorrow. So therefore he has a whole lengthy discussion whether or not the person who is going to begin Shiva before the Kfur takes place, and it's not the Yom HaMisa, should that person put on tefillin that very first day or not? He has a lengthy discussion. That's one thing he talks about.
Does Gimel HaMisa Muto Lefanov, can that encompass a day beyond? In other words, let's say the Kfur can't happen right away and it's the third day. Is he saying that that would also?
Yes, and that's our practice. Mm-hmm. We can have Aninus extend for several days. And it has some. Sometimes it does happen. Yes. Yes. Even though I know somebody who asked Rabbi Schechter whether he should put on tefillin, he said, yeah, he should put on tefillin after the second day already. After the first day, okay, but the second day of his extended aninus, he told him to wear tefillin. He quoted, I don't know who he quoted, but he did say that. Then the question about not if the person dies or is even buried, such as Purim or Chalamoed. What happens under those circumstances? You have, and your practice is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So here's the case. Somebody dies, the Yom HaMisa, Yom HaKfura, and there's still 2 hours of daylight left. Should you wear tefillin or not? So what are the two sides of the coin? Two sides of the coin are that there's no Avelos. We don't sit, there's no Avelos on Chol HaMoed. So the halach is that an ovel is exempt from tefillin the first day, or maybe the second day. But there's no avelus here. So according to that side of the coin, you should put on tefillin. Put on tefillin. If
the other side being that there is merirus.
Right, but if the other side is that there is merirus, the person just died, and the emotional expression of being upset can't be denied. Can't be denied. And you engage in kriya, the avelim themselves are korea, so under those circumstances, you should not put on tefillin. So Avadi Yosef has a lengthy tshuva about Purim and Chol HaMoed, and he comes, and he says, of course it's a machlok, it's called everybody on the planet, and he himself says you should put on, but don't make a bracha, because suffik, he always has suffik brachas lahakel. If there's any machlokes, don't make a bracha.
But you don't anyway.
No, but that's our practice. But those who believe that you're supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, wear with a bracha. It's the Ramah's pshara. Recognizing that there's a machlokes rishonim, so Rama said put them on without making a bracha. But other rishonim say that you're supposed to wear with a bracha, with a bracha. So that's open to debate whether or not it's a halacha in avelus or it's a halacha in your emotional state or not, that which will enable you to be exempt from tefillin, to be exempt from tefillin. Yeah. If you go to page number, and I see I did quote, Rashi is quoted. If you go here for 1 second to page number, Gemara and Brachos again. Yeah, page 10. Shinama Bahem Perem. This is Tosfos in that Gemara and Brachos that we read. So he did me a favor, he quoted Rashi. Perush Rashi. Ve'ovel mi'ulal ba'afar karno. And ovel is wrapped or enveloped or wearing the afer on his keren. Ve'ein no'eh loseis pe'er tachas afer. It's not appropriate to put ashes, put tefillin on the place where you put ashes. The Toimar asks question of Tosfos, V'lama li haitayma? Who needs this depressing explanation? Just say, like our Gemara said, you know why you don't wear tefillin? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel to wear tefillin. Inference, nobody else wore tefillin. Because if everybody wore tefillin, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Yecheskel to keep your tefillin on? Michlal de l'kulei amasa. The tirates hasar mekutzi, the tzorech taima shel Rashi, ki hecha de lo neilif she'ar mitzvos mitfillin mikal v'chaymer. That I should exempt an ovel from every single what? From every single mitzvah based on a kal v'chaymer. What kal v'chaymer would I make? That if you're exempt from tefillin, certainly you're exempt from every other mitzvah. What does Tosfos have in mind? It's a little difficult. I don't quite understand what the kal v'chaymer is, and therefore you need Rashi's explanation to tell you that what? It's only because of pe'er. Pe'er chachavu sholecha. And it's Rashi's explanation that me'ulal ba'afrohu. Inami taima de Rashi lechayvo b'tefillin la'achar yom rishon de lo shayech mi'ulo ba'afar karno ela b'yom rishon bevad. The only time that a person is so overcome is the first day. That explains why an ovel is not chayiv is not chayiv only the first day, but the rest of the 7 days. That's why Rashi's explanation is critical. But from our Gemara, as we said, there is nothing to indicate that there should be a distinction between day number one versus all other 7 days of Avelus. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next to Vach.